shared. And then the passage that Ken wrote about our futures, personally.
Amen.
You can take it personally too. You know, my circumstances are changing, and that's the promise of the Lord as I go forward in His name. Because we can't go forward in any other name or with any success in any other name than in the name of Jesus. So thank you for those words, Grace, that you received. And also Ken for following up with that little verse from Jeremiah about our future that is God's plan and is planned for our welfare, for our good. Precious Lord, hallelujah. And because my circumstances are changing, going as pastor of another church, I've been thinking about, well, what is it that we do in our ministry? How do we do it? What are the component parts that I need to take with me to do this new work? And I can only do it in the Lord and through the Holy Spirit's guidance. And then I thought, well, it's not just me. It's all you as well.
Amen.
Because all you too have a ministry. You go and do things for the Lord daily. Mick goes out on the streets in Doncaster. Ava goes walking the dog and talking to people, and some guys who came and mended a roof, was it? I don't know who it was, but or a kitchen. We talk to people, and it's our ministry. You know, whatever it is, the church needs cleaning. Preparation of the elements for communion need preparing. Somebody needs to play the drums. Praise God. Or the keyboard or the guitar. It is our ministry. And we need to do it unto the Lord. And there are things about our ministry that I just want to consider today as we do it. The things that we do in our ministry. And of course, in a couple of weeks' time, we've got a baptismal service, praise God. And I don't know, was it 10 people or something like that, hallelujah, that are going to go through the waters of baptism, a public declaration of their faith, a public declaration that they are dead to themselves and arising anew in Christ Jesus. A fitting start for their ministry.
Amen.
Although they may have been ministering for the Lord before, but nonetheless. And of course, before Jesus started his ministry, he too went through the waters of baptism, didn't he?
Yeah.
Praise God. When you read that, you see Jesus in the water. You hear the voice of God. And the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. All three, in a few verses, around the preparation of Jesus for his ministry. He went through the waters of baptism. John said, I shouldn't be baptizing you, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus said, no, you baptize me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Those are the words. And the Holy Spirit came onto Jesus. Now, if Jesus wanted and needed to do that, how much more should we? And how wonderful it is that we can look forward with anticipation to the baptismal service in 2 weeks' time, when people will be declaring publicly before the church. And that then the consequences for their ministry as they move forward. How wonderful. So whatever we are called to do, that is our ministry. Whatever it is, and we do it unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Do it unto the Lord. And I'll say again, because I'm moving on to workshop, it's been on my mind to think about, how do I do this? Lord, you need to guide me. You need to tell me. Because I know of myself. Mick said to me before the service, we're going to miss you. And I said, that's of course, and I will miss you too, but I'm going on to something else. And then he said, I bet you're excited. I said, well, actually, I'm scared. I'm scared. And well, you know, the Lord sends you, but in his strength.
Amen.
Not in my strength. That's fantastic. And so as we go and do our respective ministries, we should expect that we should do them with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
Blessing to us as we do it, blessing to the people who we minister unto, and that it should be followed by signs, wonders,
Amen.
And miracles.
Yeah.
And that's our hope. And every time I use the word hope, I substitute it for expectation. That
yeah.
is our expectation in the Lord.
Yeah.
That his word will not come back to him vain. It will be used. He will use it. And yes, we know that some seeds will fall on different types of ground. But our job is to share the word, to use the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we preach, as we talk, even as we just live our lives. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me to Isaiah 60? Isaiah 60. Just a couple of verses from there, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you,
Amen.
And his glory will be seen upon you. So I'm going to just say that, and the glory will be seen upon me. How wonderful. Each one of us can put our name in there. That the glory of the Lord will be seen through us.
Amen.
Not see me, not see you, but the glory of the Lord. So much so that people might say, you've got to cover your face. No.
Yeah. Amen.
The glory of the Lord shining through us. How wonderful that the glory of the Lord can shine through Louise, through Elizabeth, through Marty, through Charles, all of us. So it's a great encouragement, isn't it, that those being baptized next week are making that public declaration, and that it's a process full of joy and full of glory, and that we can see and share in that experience and that love of the Lord as they move forward. Those couple of verses in Isaiah say that the world is covered in darkness and evil. And so it is. Even the church.
Yeah.
There are evil things happening in the church. And as I say, Louise, what do I say? Stand firm. Stand firm. Yeah, no compromise. Well done.
Amen.
Stand firm. No compromise. You know, we see all sorts of problems in the world today. Wars, disasters, political unrest,
yeah.
abortion, family breakdown, single-sex relationships that the church condones. Not in my church, not in your church. Crime. And the falling away of the church. It's the work of Satan. It is the work of Satan. If he can get in there, he will. And his aim, his work is to destroy. We need to stand firm as Louise keeps reminding me that I say it. So as we see in the light of Isaiah 60, that the light of God is on us.
Amen.
And we need to shine. Shine that light across the world, across our neighborhood, across where we live. Shine the light, not under a bushel. It's no good under a bushel.
Let it shine.
Yeah, let it shine. Let it shine. We used to sing that, didn't we? Let it shine, let it shine. The glory of the Lord, let it be seen through us. That's what we need to do. And as I've already said, God won't waste any of his efforts. He wants your light to shine, and he will use his word through you for his honor and for his glory.
Amen.
So as I go to works up, and as you go in through on your lives, and as you undertake your ministry, these are the few things that I've thought that should be principles of your ministry. And all of these, first of all, are subject to being led by the Spirit of God. That's the first thing. That covers the lot. All right, but I've listed a few other things. So take as read that your ministry has to be governed by, led by, inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit in you. That is your source of power. That is the source of the words that you can use, because it's the Holy Spirit that will give you the words to use.
Amen.
And not you and not me. And the scripture is that we need to decrease, don't we?
Yeah.
That he might increase.
Yeah.
I know I've got to meet with the elders of the church in Worksop, and they want to know all about me. Well, it's inevitable. But I'm going to have to say, well, okay, but first of all, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. And that's my first point. Our ministry has to be Jesus-centered, about Jesus. Secondly, based on love.
Yeah.
God's love. The vastness of God's love. Our ministry has to be Bible-based. Absolutely, 100% Bible-based. No variation of that, no changing it, no putting our inappropriate interpretation on it. Bible-based, because it's the inspired word of God.
Amen.
We have to enable people to grow. It's important, you know, that people need to grow, and grow as a consequence of what we say and what we do. It has to be through God's grace, which is more about God's love, isn't it? We have to be knowledge-based, you know, hide the word of God in our hearts and be ready to say it when it's appropriate. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? To remember the right things to say, and again, the Holy Spirit will lead us. Our ministry needs to be faithfulness. It has to have the aim of winning souls for Christ. That's what we're doing, making disciples. Go forth into all the world and make disciples. Our ministry has to be subject to our prayer life. As individuals, we need to pray about what we do and what we say. And we need to see fruits as a consequence of what we do in our ministry. So 10 points there, and I am going to go through each one briefly and as quickly as I can. And just lock the door, will you, before it goes dark, so that the people can't escape. I won't be long. But it's important, and it's important to me too, as I'm thinking about how the Lord is working out this planning in my life, not only for my good, but also for the new flock that I'm going to shepherd. So our ministry has to be Jesus-centered. And if you've got your Bibles, I can give you a bit of exercise in looking through your Bibles today. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all things into him who is the head. That is Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And as we speak his truth, as we grow in him, as we follow his leading, our work will mature in the Lord and it will not return unto him void. He will use us in his power, Christ-centered. That was number one for me, Christ-centered. Well, who is there for us to preach about, to be quite honest? There isn't, yeah, spot on, Grace, there isn't. And all the other faiths in the world, such as they are, should describe them as religions. They try and hold and have a faith in a dead God. Our God is not dead. No. Jesus is not dead. He is alive and he directs our paths. Amen. Praise God. So one, based on Jesus, Jesus-centered. Our ministry must be based on love. And if you've got your Bibles again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. We've got to love the people of this world, even though we see the evil things in their life, because it's not the sin that God or us will love, but it is the people. You know, I've been thinking about what if this sort of person comes to the church? What if that sort of person comes to the church? How are you going to receive them? What are you going to do? What are you going to say to them? It's not what they do, but they are a human who needs the grace of God. Whoever they are, whatever they've done, remember the man on the cross. In his dying moments, he came to the Lord because of the man on the cross. How wonderful, how wonderful. So our ministry must be based in love. And as a consequence of the fact that we can love one another, what joy there is. And what joy there is in the fact that God loved, and he loved us in our sin. And all these different type of folks that will come and meet us and talk to us, whatever type of sin they're involved in, God loves them and doesn't want anyone to perish. And Jesus died for them, whether or not they accept him. He died for the whole world. It must grieve him that having made that sacrifice, that there are people that reject him. And yet us, we, the chosen ones, will spend eternity with him because of his love for us, and we must share through our ministry his boundless love. Boundless love. Our ministry must be Bible-based. Absolutely 100%, no exceptions. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Rob, I'll say it again if you need me to. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. So the Bible is going to put us right. That's what it says. It's profitable in terms of the doctrine of God, but also for reproof and correction. I think I heard the other day somebody say it can be uncomfortable being a Christian sometimes because the Lord can correct you. You have to give some things up. Hey, that's good. The Lord is telling you to do something. He's not doing it because he feels that he wants to do it. He's doing it for your good. He's doing it because he wants to see you holy.
Amen.
He wants to see you growing in your faith, growing more like Jesus day by day. And so our ministry must be Bible-based. The Bible is a map for our lives. Gives us the direction in which we should go. Tells us what we should and, of course, what we shouldn't do. And, of course, it's a book that is full of mystery and we don't understand it all. We can only understand it in part, in a mirror darkly. We can only understand some of it, but we can understand the important bits. Christ died for me. Hallelujah. He died for you. He rose again. Hallelujah. And he lives forever and he intercedes for you. And we can understand all those things. So we were talking as I was away on holiday recently because we saw the majesty of God as we were going through Scotland. Beautiful mountains. How can people believe that this was an accident? That all these beautiful... No, it was just some big bang that happened whenever. Well, I don't care if it was a big bang. It's God who made the big bang. And if it was a big bang, where did it happen? If there was nothing, if there was no space, there must have been some space. Well, of course they say there's space. Ah, so you believe in eternity then, if the space was always there. People do believe in eternity. They just don't think it through. The God of creation, the God of the Bible that is revealed to us in that word, the inspired word of God, he loves us and he wants us to share that love in our ministry with one another. Our ministry must enable growth, both in ourselves. Can't count the number of times Mick has stood on this platform and said, and I am talking to myself, which is great, because we are. We're not talking just to you, we're saying it for our growth and for your growth. 1 Peter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Peter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Let newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow. Grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. My Bible tells me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Amen.
That's great. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You won't stop there. You will grow. You might start off on the milk of the word, but you'll grow into the meat of the word as you mature in your Christian life, as you delve deeper into that inspired word. We must enable others to grow. And we do that by we who are ministering, you who are ministering, decreasing and letting God increase in your lives. He must increase. And then in Hebrews 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So we must mature. We must discern good and evil. And we must train ourselves in that. And not training ourselves, but being led through God. Solid food. So that we can discern what's good, discern what's evil. And help both ourselves and others to grow in God's goodness. Our ministry must be in God's grace and through God's grace. And the text, it's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Growing grace. For by grace, the love of God, unwarranted love, you have been saved through faith, forsaking all, I trust him, faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Remember what God has done for us. Remember everything that he has done for us. Nothing that we have done can save us. Nothing that we do will save us. We are saved because of his blood and his body that was shed on that cross. And always remember that was God. He came and he had to become a man so that he could die and shed his blood for you and for me, because the wages of sin is, so now, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, we don't do good works to be saved. But once we're saved, we should be doing good works. It's the other way around. And then those works are of God, because in all our ways, he is directing us. Amen. We don't just happen to turn up in places, you know. We go to places because we are directed by God. Our ministry must be knowledge-based. You and I, we need to read the Word, learn the Word, develop an understanding of the Word of God, seek God's face to understand it. And if you're going to speak, seek God's face in terms of what you're going to say. Of course, we'll never know it all. As I've said, we see through a mirror darkly. But we can hide his word in our hearts and in our minds, and we can let the Holy Spirit work through us as we speak the word to others, to be led by God, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not of our works, but of his. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. So it's through him and through his words that we grow and gain the knowledge and understanding of what the word says and what it means, and how far and how much we understand is as revealed by God. And if we seek God, we'll learn and understand more. I remember my father would stand up in church and pray. And when he prayed, it would be scripture after scripture after scripture. He'd pray by quoting the Bible, word for word, verse by verse. Wonderful. What a knowledge that he had. But it was the Holy Spirit working through him, that he had the ability to recall such chapter and verse, and to be able to stand and pray almost like reading the Bible, but without reading, the Holy Spirit working through him. And when we talk to unbelievers about the Lord, we must remember that the words we are using are God's words. Amen. Remember that the words we are using are directed by God. Knowledge-based. Our ministry must be faithful. One of the things that I thought here is that God's faithfulness. He is faithful, absolutely. absolutely 100% faithful. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves us before time began, during time, and beyond it. He is faithful and will never change. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Remember who we are. We're sinners. But don't put the full stop there. Well done, Rob. But we're sinners saved by grace. We have something special about us. Because, yes, we're sinners, but we are saved by grace. That's awesome. That's awesome. Because that salvation means we have eternal life in Christ. It's a long time, man. It is. It's a lot of chocolate cake, Anne. Praise God. In all eternity, what God has done for us because of his grace. He loved us even in our sin. He loved us before the world began, and as Ken told us, he has a plan for us. You know, you can say, no, I'm not going to do that. Don't. Submit to the will of God. Amen. Go where he sends you. Yeah. He's sending you there for a purpose. You might not be able to see what that purpose is in its fullness. That doesn't matter. What you need to do is put your trust, your faith in God as he sends you on your way. And as we are sent on our way, we will be known by our fruits. And our fruits will be good, because if we're going where God sends us, his word will not return unto him vain. Void. Vain, whichever is the right word. Either way. And to bear fruit, we have to be in the vine. We have to be part of the Lord, joined into that vine, and that vine is rooted in God. And in that way, we will bear fruit. One of the things I've thought often about bearing fruit is that it comes and it comes and it comes again. It won't be just one lot of fruit. It'll be a season of fruit, and then another season of fruit, and then another season of fruit. It will go on and on and on. So you're not going to be used of God once. You're going to be used of God time and time and time again in his ministry. And what better life to live than to serve God? What better use of your time can there be to work for him? And if you think about it, if you are disobedient, why would you want to be disobedient to God, the creator of the universe? It's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? You would want to be obedient to God purely by virtue of the fact that he is God.
Amen.
He is God. Obey him. So our ministry must be about winning souls. And of course, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so through that authority, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be doing in a fortnight's time. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then he said, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we must go and make disciples. We must bring them to the Lord, or bring them to an understanding that they can come to the Lord. We must baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We must teach them to obey as we must obey and we must love one another even as he loved us. And I've said this before, he loved us even unto death. That's a big ask. Big ask. That's how much we should love one another. But he says, remember, I am with you always. So even if we find it a challenge, and I know as I go on my next chapter, it will be a challenge, an exciting one, yes. But the Lord is going with me. The Lord is going with me. Wherever it takes you, it's an effort. It doesn't necessarily come easy. How many times have we heard Andrew say, well, I've got to leave this church? But he did. Said the same to me. I cried when I told Andrew of leaving here. But it's of God. We need to do what God commands us to do and go where God commands us to go. Jesus said, go. Go and make disciples. Number 9 out of 10. Our ministry must be based in our prayer life. It is hard, isn't it? You know, people find it hard to pray. We even find people find it hard to read the Bible. And yet they are the two essentials of our Christian lives. Let us continually be in prayer. I like to think of the idea of chatting with the Lord just as you're going along. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Thank you for that, Lord. All the time. It's wonderful to do it and a challenge to do it. Our lives should be centered on God, full of prayer, full of communication with God. Christ-centered. And you know, when we're praying, just remember what we're doing. We are actually talking with God. Me, little old me in my corner, talking to God. And you know what's even greater than that? He answers, and he talks to me. Puts a thought in my head, arranges a set of circumstances that pull things together. And sometimes things are a challenge and circumstances are difficult. But in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8 says, I will therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Not pray in anger, not pray doubting, but pray praising, believing, expecting, listening for the answer, that still small voice that will come back to you in one way or another. You know, you might pray to the Lord today for something and he won't answer you straight away. It might be a month, it might be a year, it might be 25 years waiting for whatever the answer is. But it's his timing. His timing, not ours. His ways are not our ways. And sometimes we don't understand his ways, but it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of belief. How wonderful. And finally, our ministry must be based on the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What better? What better fruit? One fruit, by the way. It's one fruit. It's not fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit. So it's all that. That's what you should have demonstrated in your life what I should have demonstrated in my life as a child of God. To be full of joy, whatever betides. To enjoy the peace of God, whatever happens. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fruits of the Spirit. Wonderful. So there are significant challenges for us as we go about our ministry. And we need to take those challenges on. You know, it's no good ducking the issue. We have a responsibility. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, think about it. He said, go and make disciples. And in order to understand that, I have a verse that Ken shared with us a few weeks ago, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we can be assured. We can claim the fact, the knowledge that God is with us, that he will strengthen us, and that whatever happens to us in our lives, good or challenging, we can remember, as it says in John 16, is it, I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world for you. And he's overcome the world for me. So, that's what we have to do in our ministry. It's no small task, it's a big task. Yeah, a great task though. So, David was here, he'd say, the fields are white unto harvest, wouldn't he? So let us go forward in the strength of the Lord to fulfill, as Ken read, the plan that God has for each one of us, which is for our good as well as for the good of others. Let's make sure that we follow his leading. And let's make sure that those principles of ministry are at the forefront of what we do. Now you can spell Jesus, can't you? J-E-S-U-S. No I in Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. So remember as we go forward to follow his leading, to use the Holy Spirit in our ministry, in the things that we do. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you're not a disciple, I think it's about time that you woke up and realized what you're missing. And I think it's about time you realize that it's not about what's going to happen to you today or tomorrow. It's about what is going to happen to you in the whole of eternity. Make your mind up today. Amen. And if you are a Christian, if you are a disciple, if you are someone who is following the Lord, remember that the person who is sat next to you might be the person that is not on his way to heaven, not on her way to heaven, and you need to tell them. Tell them. Give them a word in season and out of season. You know, be ready at any time to justify why you are, what you are and how you live. And if that is a challenge and you find it difficult to use the words, live the life. Amen. Demonstrate the life of God through how you live. Go into all the world and make disciples. God bless.